This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, sevillepodcast.com.
70, that's the phone number for you. Coming up tomorrow, we'll talk with UVA's Bruce Williams, a little history about politics and the media in America. We'll go back to the 1790s newspaper wars. It was Fox versus NBC in the 1790s. Dee Dee Smith joins me live in studio. She is with Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply Plan online at sevillewater.info. Dee Dee, you went before the city council meeting last night. I was watching you on Channel 10.
Right, I did.
And you went before the city council at the meeting last night with some concerns and a proposal. Tell us what happened.
Yes, and actually, I went before city council again, Coy. I'm a familiar face there. And actually, what I was talking about last night was a concern I have, and I've had before, and I've spoken to them before, about this body that meets occasionally to talk about and negotiate the water supply called the Four Boards. And what the Four Boards is basically the Board of Supervisors, City Council, Albemarle County Service Authority, and the Ravenna Water and Sewer Authority Board. And the problem with that, Coy, is that the Albemarle County Service Authority are basically citizens appointed by the Board of Supervisors. And so what you have is you have sitting in that room around a very large table are 14 representatives for the county, 7 representatives for the city, and then one guy who's just a joint city-county. I mean, the city is so outnumbered, so outgunned in these meetings. Now,
who's the guy who's supposed to be for city and county?
Like Mike Gaffney. He's the chair of the Ravenna Water and Sewer Authority, a local developer.
Yeah.
So that's another whole issue.
Right.
But the point being is that there is no comparable body for the city of citizens as there is for the county at those meetings. Now,
because the city has a public works department, it doesn't have a water board.
No, exactly. There is no group of folks who represent public works. And so my suggestion actually.
Well, where did this Four Boards come from in the first place?
Well, you know, who knows? I mean, this, as far as I can tell, it was just.
And somebody stocking some Christmas.
Yeah, right.
Hey, look what
it's
I got.
An artificial construal from about 2008 that kind of appeared to when this issue became very contentious. So you can just imagine the dealings that of the folks who got together and said, oh, let's put these four boards together. There was actually something.
So it's when that 2006 water plan agreement started to unravel and the city started to get educated more and to question some of the
exactly.
assumptions upon which the plan was based, which has since been proven faulty, and we'll talk about that. So this board was created to sort of keep that alive or to provide a forum for conversation and compromise?
Yeah, I mean, a forum to discuss the debate over the water supply plan.
Do they vote on certain issues?
Well, they don't vote, but they agree on this and that. And they're given a lot of credence in the press. They have no legitimacy. They have no power. But the very fact that the press says, well, we agreed in the four boards meeting. I mean, you hear that a lot.
Yeah.
It's sort of a false credence, but still it has a certain power. And so my suggestion to the board was that to the council rather, is that they have a comparable board or else they just stop participating in this false construal of power that for which they're just so outgunned.
Yeah.
And it's obvious. I went to the last four boards meeting. It happened the day after the city council came up with their compromise plan. And they were just, this council was just, you know, they were so outnumbered. And
well, that's the meeting
bullied.
Where they set Dave Norris up, right? Have you been meeting with the DEQ? Was it that
no,
meeting?
No,
or
no,
that
it wasn't that one. That was actually just a Board of Supervisors Albemarle County Service Authority meeting. That was another meeting. But they just bullied city council and harangued them about their compromise plan.
So as somebody who's been in on these meetings for a long time and has spent thousands of hours of volunteer time going to these meetings and listening and taking notes, you just see this as just the city's getting ambushed.
Oh, yeah. Again, again. We saw this happen about the same time that the four boards materialized. We also had that dredging task force.
I remember that.
That scam
yeah.
that was called the dredging task force that was brought about after a decision was made to go for dredging, after a decision was made to go for a study for dredging that successfully stalled the process of getting that study for dredging, which we eventually got for a year. And the dredging task force, again, the city was so outnumbered. And I mean, it was just a scandal in my book. And I was on that dredging task force.
Yeah, I was going to say, so you were in on those meetings.
Yeah.
And you saw what was happening. The way I saw it from, on the outside, I didn't go to any of those meetings. But from the way I saw it, sort of looked like it was like the four boards. It was stacked. The deck was stacked against city interest from the very beginning.
Right. And it appeared as if that was, in fact, that was one of the points, is that we need to stop the city from finding out more information. And that has been really the push from the county interests. I don't want to stack everybody in the county in that pool, but is to stop the city from finding out this information. We've seen this over and over again.
At every turn, the folks who have advocated for that, excuse me, that big government, very expensive water supply plan of 2006, they have really obstructed very aggressively any effort on the part of the city to learn more about the facts of this plan.
It's really true.
Don't ask questions about it. Just go ahead and do it.
Exactly. And every time the city has said, well, too bad, we want this information, and has gone forward and gotten either paid for, and mostly usually paid for or pushed for another study to answer operative questions, the city's been right. In fact, the information that they said we need this information was true. I mean, a good example of that was the dredging study that this so-called task force managed to stall for a year, but the city eventually paid for and got. And we found out that the reservoir was in better shape than we thought it was. It's not silting in as badly. It was not going to be nearly as expensive as the opponents were saying it would be. It's very feasible to
Didi,
use it.
We're talking with Didi Smith. What was the reaction last night on the part of city councilors?
Well,
to your concerns about this four boards group.
Right. And it was during public comment, and councilors did have an opportunity to react to it. Only two did. David Brown complimented it for its creativity, but did not feel it was necessary because the four boards does not have voting power. Now, I totally disagree with that. Dave Norris thanked me for it and said he thought it was an intriguing idea and that he would consider it.
Yeah. Now, I'm curious what your thoughts are about the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority, because as far as I'm concerned, it's like the four boards, except it does have real power, but yet it seems to consistently be working against city interests as well. I mean, through all these years when the city has said, hey, we'd like more information about this, and it has seemed to me that the Tom Frederick and the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority has been a bit of a tool of county interests, of the developers and the realtors who want this big water supply plan that will facilitate growth in the county that city ratepayers and waterpayers are being asked to subsidize so the county can grow. They've appeared to be a bit of a tool and pretty much done what the county's wanted to do. And when the city has requested stuff, they've hemmed and hawed.
Well, that's I would agree with that perception. But that changed actually a year or so ago when from citizen pressure to put in elected officials on that board. So first it was Holly Edwards. She was the first of the city's elected officials to get on that board. And then now it's Dave Norris. And it was really at that point where Ravana Water and Sewer Authority Board really had to follow what city interests were. It should have. Judy Mueller, who's the director of Public Works, is on that. And, of course, our city manager, who was Gary O'Connell for so many years. Gary O'Connell, of course, has now sort of jumped ship and is the director of the Albemarle County Service Authority, ironically. It's been much better, much better.
Ironically,
since elected.
It's not ironic. That's how it works.
Okay.
That's how it works. This is America, isn't it? I mean, that's exactly how it works. So now he's working for interests in the county against
against
some city,
city interests. Yeah.
It's not ironic. That's just what we've come to expect. Didi, let's take a very quick break. And when we get back, I want to explore this idea of the faulty assumptions upon which the 2006 water plan was based. Because as far as I'm concerned, that's where we are in the conversation.
The city
has funded some studies. They'd learned some information. So let's take a moment just to sort of pause and take stock of where we are in this conversation so that the folks who are just joining us, they don't need to know anything about what happened before. They can just wait 2 minutes and you'll learn everything you need to know.
Oh, wow.
This is Charlottesville Right Now. Let's rejoin our conversation with Dee Dee Smith. She's live in studio. So in 2006, the city and the county developed a water supply plan. This was not a supply for water. It was a supply for backup water in case of a drought.
Right.
That's one thing that's lost on a lot of people. They say, don't we have plenty of water? Yes, we do. We have actually a lot more than we need.
Right.
But there are situations where we have a drought or a problem like we did a few years, 2002?
Right.
And that really scared the bejesus out of a lot of people. And they're like, oh my goodness, we need a better backup plan in case of a drought. Hence the 2006 water supply plan. The city and the county were on the same page. This is what we're going to do. We're going to build a big new bathtub at Ragged Mountain. We're going to fill it with this pipeline, which is this big underground river going uphill. We're going to have to pump the water into the reservoir. Since then, it's sort of unraveled because, three of the city councilors who voted for that plan have come forward and said, I would never have voted for that plan if I knew then what I know now. Stuff that I asked to be told then and was never told.
Right.
And citizens came forward. Your group came forward, started going to meetings, started getting information, started going to members of city council saying, hey, did you know this? And what we have learned and where we are today is we can conclusively show now that a lot of the assumptions upon which that 2006 plan was based are not true. And these are the same assumptions that they've gotten DEQ permits with, and they're not true. So help us now pick it up from there and tell us, well, what were these assumptions and what's the truth?
Right. Well, thanks. And I think it's really important to note that some of the strongest supporters of the 2006 plan have come out and said, if any of these assumptions prove to be false, then we need to go back and relook at that. We saw that in the Our Future, Our Water, Our Future series on Seaville Tomorrow. So I think that it's really important to point out that many of the assumptions, the most important of the assumptions, have been proven false. That's the number one is that the demand in 50 years, which was at that time 2055, would be 18.7 million gallons per day. That's how much water we would be using. At the time that the plan was born, it was around 11, right, between 11 and 12 million gallons per day. So it was not going to quite double. That has since been drawn into really serious question based on two really important facts. One is that our demand is going down. Our population is going up, just as they predicted.
Yeah.
But the amount of water we are using per person has gone dramatically down and is continuing to go down. And that is actually consistent with what's happening across the country. What we're going to need in 50 years appears to be much less. So that's the first really important number. The second really important number is they also predicted that the South Fork Rivanna Reservoir, our main storage facility, would decline. The storage capacity would decline predictably and in 50 years would be...
Because it's silting
almost
in like
gone.
Crazy. That
was the argument.
Yeah.
That it's been silting in. We knew it would silt in. It's going to continue to silt in.
Well, and that's going to speed up.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, but what we found out.
Not true.
A new study, that's not true. It's the siltation rate is half of what they said it would be. That's probably due to watershed protection measures that have been going on for a couple decades now. So those two numbers mean that the supply deficit, the amount of water we need to add to our system from both ends, it's not as high. We're not going to use as much water at the top level.
And we have more storage than we thought we had.
And we're not losing as much water at the bottom. So
yeah.
It has shrunk from, and the figure they have is 9.9. And in fact, the real number is much closer to 6, 5.96.
We're talking with Dee Dee Smith. Let's pick up right here when we get back. Let's rejoin our conversation with Dee Dee Smith. She is live in studio. The 2006 water supply plan. And this is the real takeaway, as far as I'm concerned, for where we are at the end of 2010. This is the thing that we need to be thinking now. This big plan from 2006 that the developers in the county are desperate to get. And the more and more ratepayers and people who pay for their water in the city are like, wait a minute, what is this again? This plan is based on a number of faulty assumptions that the city studies have since proven
exactly.
Conclusively. And the first one you point out is this plan was based on this idea of this demand analysis study that you're going to need X amount of water in 50 years, so you better build something big enough for that. Well, that has been shown to be wrong two different ways.
Right.
So what else was an assumption that this plan was based on that we now know 4 years later is wrong?
Well, one of the assumptions was that the existing dam at the Ragged Mountain Reservoir was no good, that it was sited by dam safety. It needed to come down, and so we needed a new dam. Well, that has really recently been proven to be very wrong. And again, the city independently commissioned a study to look at this. And it's a really important point because the compromise plan, the so-called Norris plan, calls to still raise the dam at Ragged Mountain. So this is the focus of the whole 2006 study, is a brand new, huge, huge dam to raise that reservoir by 45 feet. And Dave Norris is saying, wait, we don't need that much water. We can do it in a much cheaper way if we just raise it. His idea is 13 feet, which gives us more water, but not tons and tons more water. His plan is also to say we combine that with restoring the South Fork Ravana Reservoir, one we already own. This is the one that's silting in. And between those two, we have plenty of water for the next 50 years. But the county was saying, no, that's not going to work because the dam's no good. And we, as I say, Black and Veatch just did a study, and they said that dam is really in very good shape. It's even in better shape than anybody thought it was. And, yes, you can add to it, and it's way cheaper to add on to the existing dam than to build this big new earthen dam that 2006.
And that there was another assumption in 2006 about dredging that we now know is wrong. What's
right,
that?
Well, the dredging was eliminated. Dredging is the most environmentally responsible thing to do. You don't impact any streams, and you can do it without impacting wetlands. But they said it was going to cost. First, they said it was going to cost like $140 million, and so they threw it out. That number they later raised to $225 million. I mean, this is all just ridiculous. So this, again, the city said, we want another estimate. And they said, no, that's not a good use of public money.
Well, the county said this, yeah.
County said that. So the city went ahead and did a very comprehensive dredging study. And in fact, the reservoir is in much better shape. It, in fact, can economically be dredged to restore it, da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, that whole assumption was thrown out the window. That's a very important assumption, because if dredging had been kept in the original 2006 plan, it was one of the options that they considered, then
We wouldn't have been rushing to build an expensive new dam, a whole new reservoir.
Right, exactly. It would just have shaped the ultimate approved plan very differently, and would have been approved because they had to figure out some way that the state and federal regulators would allow them not to dredge the South Fork Ravana Reservoir. Yeah. And the way they did that was by making it just way too expensive.
We're talking with Dee Dee Smith. Any other assumptions that you can point to that you can say, well, that's not true anymore? What about money? Isn't there an assumption in the 2006 plan that we can somehow afford this without raising rates?
Well, you know, I was there when the city council approved this plan, and there was no money talked about at that point. The money discussion didn't come up until later. And in fact, when it did, there was a real feeling that, oh, maybe we can't do this. This is really expensive. But the way they got around that is they said, well, we're just going to build the dam first, and we'll wait a little while to build the pipeline. And that way we'll be able to pay for the dam, and hopefully water demand will go up enough, revenue will go up enough. In 10 years, we'll build a pipeline. Well, there's a fundamental problem with that little plan is they can't fill. They can build a dam, but they can't fill it until they have the pipeline. And now with the with this amount of water we're using declining, and this is really just a modern technology issue, they're not going to have the revenue to build that pipeline. I mean, the whole plan is so flawed, and it's so flawed from almost every angle that it is kind of dumbfounded. I'm dumbfounded as to why the county is holding on to it so strongly.
You know why, don't you? Of course you know why.
I can conjecture.
Well, what's your conjecture for those who don't really know the inside story here? Why would, you know, members of the Board of Supervisors be so committed to this plan? Who's whispering in their ear?
It does provide a tremendous amount of water, and they can get the city to pay for a whole bunch of the project.
Yeah.
And that is why those of us who live in the city and who recognize that the city does not need this water, the city does not need any more water. And we have, in fact, the city, which is also UVA, under the city plan, has about twice as much, owns about twice as much storage as they need. And so we're set for the long run.
But if the builders and the developers and the realtors and the lawyers who serve them want to profit from growth in the county, they need to see more homes and more shopping centers, right, and they need to see more of these farms turned into neighborhoods, and they need water to do that.
Right.
And so this plan is based on the city ratepayers who don't need more water. They will be asked to subsidize this infrastructure upon which the county will profit. I hate to draw the line down the middle like that, but that is exactly what's happening.
And they want to scrunch up all of the development against the city, in this urban ring, which is really just 5% of the county. Yeah. So there's another huge interest group, and that is those who want to not have their, new developments, building up.
As a sidebar here, I was thinking about this that topic this afternoon as I'm driving my car and sitting in traffic. That is completely flawed. That assumption, this idea that you're only going to see development in this urban ring is absolutely completely flawed. Because if you think, because then what you're saying is that 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, if a family wants to sell their farm to a developer and turn it into a neighborhood, they're not going to be allowed to do that?
Well, the thing is that those zoning ordinances aren't even in place. And so, they will. I mean,
Of course they will. Developers are going to keep growing wherever they possibly can.
Right. And we'll see both of these impacts in development.
As they try to tell you, we're just going to have development around the city, you may think that today, but that is not what's going to happen.
No, it's really not. Particularly if by doing so, you've so degraded the environment right within the city and around the city that people won't want to live there. Or, and what I predict is going to happen, water rates will go so high that people won't be able to live in areas that have public water.
Yeah.
And you certainly are not going to attract business. I mean, this is their other excuse. Oh, well, we want to attract businesses. We have some of the highest water rates in the state right now. And if we take on $150 million of debt on top of the operating costs that we already have, our water rates are going to go through the roof.
So at the end of the day, the 2006 water plan that is still being really aggressively advocated by interest in the city, in the county, county board of supervisors, the developers, the realtors in the county, it is not the fiscally responsible, conservative, small government, market-based plan.
That whole
plan is coming out of the liberal city councilors.
And now, isn't it? It's ironic that being fiscally conservative is the message of the most liberal in this discussion. But it's environmentally responsible too to restore the resources you already have, rather than what the 2006 plan does is it just says we're just going to throw it all away and we're going to start over. And it just doesn't make any sense.
Old plan does that the county wants.
The plan that they're fighting for at this point is
totally abandons the South Fork of the Ravanna, the Sugar Hollow. It just acts like we have no resources and says, no, let's build all new.
Right.
And the people can pay for it.
Right. And the other thing that's happening here is that the county has not contributed any resources to this plan. All of the assets of the Sugar Hollow Reservoir, the South Fork Ravanna Reservoir, and the Ragged Mountain Reservoir are all city assets. So really the county has, who have Beaver Creek Reservoir and, you know, and Chris Green Lake, which was originally a water supply, have a lot of groundwater, we've recently learned, all of which could contribute to an expansion of the water storage. None of those county assets are included in this 2006 plan. And the city stands to lose what I have told them over and over are really potentially hundreds of millions of dollars worth of city assets.
Let me just sort of widen the focus here. Do you get frustrated and even angry as a person in the city when you see the facts like this in front of you, and you can see the sides people are taking, and then you see some people on certainly not Dave Norris, but some people on city council who almost seem to be like, well, we'll just do what the county wants to do.
Yes, I do. And I get frustrated because, let's face it, the only players in this game, and let's look back at the four boards, are the city council. It is their responsibility to look after city assets. Nobody else is going to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I said to them.
And the members of the Board of Supervisors and the developers who want this big government, very expensive water supply plan, they're not looking out for the one out of four people who are the working poor in Charlottesville who are going to watch their water rates go through the roof to subsidize their development in the county.
No, that's city councilors' responsibility, and that is what we keep trying to remind them. It is their role to watch out for city assets. This, you know, the idea that somehow they can commit city resources for a county plan and give over city assets it's got to be illegal.
Yeah. What were your thoughts on Neil Williamson's blog post that time a few weeks ago, the Free Enterprise Forum, which is the growth lobby? I mean, if you look at the members of the board, every single member of the Free Enterprise Forum is a developer, a builder, a realtor, right, or a lawyer who serves them. They advocated, Neil said, well, maybe we should think about eminent domain. You know, supposedly that from a conservative organization, let's use the power of government to take the city property, and then we'll just do whatever we want with it.
Right. Well, I had a couple interesting thoughts about that. I mean, first, it just seems ridiculous, but
fun to talk about.
But it's fun to talk about, and in fact, it opened up a really interesting question as to the value of the Ragged Mountain land, because one thing I have said to the city is, you know, the city owns plenty of resources out the South Fork. Maybe you should just take the Ragged Mountain Sugar Hollow Leg Observatory Water Treatment Plant, which needs a tremendous amount of maintenance, and just sell it to the county. If they want it so badly, maybe, but let's talk about what that land is valued at. And if you look at an eminent domain argument, you have to look at its revenue value, and water's expensive. So, I mean, I think it just ups the value of the land at Ragged Mountain. And yeah, if the county wants to take it over, well, they're going to have to pay for it.
So we're talking with Dee Dee Smith. It's sevillewater.info is the website. So now that we know this 2006 plan is based on all these false assumptions that are not true, and that, you know, we have had people who've gone on record, Brian Wheeler at Charlottesville Tomorrow, saying, you know, if you can show that any of these plans – any of these assumptions,
right,
upon which the plan is based, then we really do need to go back to the drawing board and reconsider some type of compromise alternative, which has been proposed by Dave Norris. So what happens now?
Well, that's a great question. What happens now? Now, the Ravanna Water and Sewer Authority, it appears, will need to modify the permit. And now the permit was based on all these assumptions. Once the Ravanna has the permit, well, the state's not going to come back and say, oh, you've got new information, you have to change it. They've given it to them. It's over in their eyes until such time as the permit expires. But if it has to be modified, there's a potential that new information will need to be introduced. And that's what we're hoping, and that because there is so much new information.
Well, if you don't introduce the new information, then you're lying to the DEQ.
Well,
right?
You would think, wouldn't you think? And in fact, there's language in the permit that says when new information becomes available. But that's only under certain circumstances that the permit is opened back up. Once the DEQ has given the permit to Rivanna, they just avert their eyes, basically.
We're talking with Dee Dee Smith. Let me ask you to put that on, and we'll go to the phones, 977-1070. Susan is in Albemarle County. Susan, happy Tuesday. You go right ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to make a quick comment, and I'm not in any way saying I am for the 2006 plan, but I think it kind of somewhat irks me when I hear the statement, well, the city doesn't need this water, and, you know, the city will have to pay for all of this, and because the county, because of an agreement made years ago that had they not been scared and waited a little and jumped ahead because they were afraid of the annexation thing, the county has to pay thousands of dollars to the city every year that, you know, the county doesn't really get much for. So
millions.
Millions.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, be careful when you talk about what exclusively the city's wants and needs versus the county's, because there's push and pull and all of that from both sides.
Yeah, so it's a good point, and it's well worth remembering. Susan, thank you for the call. And it's an excellent point, and that's why I said earlier I hate to, like, draw a line there because, you know, we often do need to remember we are one community. However, you know, there are certain people who are elected. I mean, we didn't elect David Brown to represent the county.
Right.
But sometimes that's what I hear coming out of his mouth. It's like, well, wait a minute. What board are you on?
Right. And the revenue sharing agreement's another whole discussion. And there are gives and takes over that. But that really does not play into the questions that we have here, because we do, as a city resident, we pay entirely different taxes. We have different obligations. And water is just one of those obligations that is charged for separately, differently.
Yeah.
And we are not one system when it comes to water.
But your larger point is, if there wasn't a county out there that was chomping at the bit to grow like crazy and needed all this water, the city wouldn't even be having this discussion.
Right.
The city's not in a position where it's like, oh, what are we going to do? We really need a whole lot more water. That's your point.
Right.
The city's
right.
not in that position.
And the county.
The only reason we're having this discussion is because there are people in the community who profit from growth, and they need more water.
And the county has recently, in their letter that they sent to all with their personal property taxes, stated that they consider 70% of this water project to be so-called maintenance, which puts a huge burden on the city. And so, I mean, these are very, very real issues. And it is those negotiations about what resources the city and the county each will put toward this project that, you know, regardless of one community or not, we are, you know, really are serious, serious negotiations.
Yeah. Dee Dee Smith, the website is sevawater.info. And remind us again now where this goes, before we let you go.
Yeah, there's now a couple important meetings coming up. They're going to be looking at, again, more closely at whether the existing dam at Ragged Mountain can be used. But, you know, at what point it will all be decided. I thought it would have been decided by now, by the end of the summer. Now we're looking at the end of the year. It's just a little hard to say.
Yeah. Dee Dee, thank you for being here, and thank you again for your continued service to the community. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.